Two. Well, why don't you stand there? Want to sit on this? It's bigger.
No, I'm fine.
Okay,
I'd
fine.
like to stay.
Some years ago, when I was at the Argonne National Laboratory, I was involved in a group called the Catalog Interoperability Working Group, which was looking at how to use the master, what's called in the master
Wow,
directory,
that's
to index large collections of data. One of the challenges that they faced at NET in about 1994 was that information previously they dealt with a lot of space science information in addition to earth science information. But then they were challenged because a group called CSIS collection had to be merged in. So they had to look at a combination of words that they had used, or keywords, vocabularies, which now represented not just natural phenomenon, but also human institutions and the interaction of humans and nature. So in the DRM, page 34, 4.3, right at the beginning, guidance, I added the fact that the federal government describes facts about the physical world, the world of social relationships, and the individuals within those worlds and the joint interaction of those worlds over time. Goddard, Global Technology Master Directory, has done a masterful job of doing that and working with the agencies across the government, and actually, in my opinion, is the template for how to do data sharing among many disparate communities to deal with different topics. It was in the back of my mind when I wrote the text that I did in the DRM. So it may not be familiar to you folks, but I decided to ask Olson to come and talk about it. And I did warn her last July that I was going to do this. So she's not totally unprepared.
Thank you. And thank you for the credit that we have for fulfilling part of the DRM 2.0. I'd like to just start by saying that there was a time when I came in to work on the directory. It was a space science directory before that, and then it was moved to the earth science domain, and that's when I took over and decided that we needed to have some structured vocabularies. And we worked on it for so long. I had one staff member who evidently still works for me who said, "Let's just give up. This is just too difficult." And I remind him of that occasionally. The systems administrator now, so he doesn't have to work on that in any case. But we do believe that the vocabulary we have are important in normalizing the search. And this is specific. This isn't the whole world and everything like you just heard for WordNet. The guide here, I'll talk about the directory as it relates to the DRM2 through the vision and mission of the directory. That's somebody else. Okay. Then talk about the content and usage and the value. And we are starting to get some really nice feedback. So this is the value that's expressed to us through our users. And we'll talk about the design evolution. We gave it a number in 1994. We've just said, okay, this is Master Directory version 2. And we're on about to release 9.7 now. So the vision is to serve as a trusted source for Earth and space science metadata and related services, and to contribute to the scientific discovery through that access, that easy access to data. And our mission is to provide the creation of unique, high-quality data services and ancillary descriptions of the data. Unique is a key here, too. To design enabling authoring tools, we don't believe that a great description can be written without some assistance along the way for speed and normalization. And we believe that the time to tag the data is at the time of writing, and tagging is definitely more difficult when the ability is not integrated through the tools. And then it is also less likely to be accurate and normalized. And the word is best to gather the information when the getting's good. And we're also want to assist the global community in the discovery of those scientific resources within the directory. So it's an integrated system. And do we follow DRM 2.0? You'll see this slide probably again. I'll start in the lower right-hand corner with the taxonomies, move to the data and data assets, and then, I mean, to the data description and data sharing. Under the data context, we facilitate the discovery of data through the approach to the categorization of data according to the taxonomies. And this is actually part of the verbiage from DRM2. And we enable the definition of authoritative data sets assets within our community of interest using unique identifiers. And we provide linkages to the data. We're not just a description that stops there. And this is not my wording, thereby hopefully managing that info glut through open API links, such as through OpenDAP, through a related URL that's a set of controlled keywords now, and on the table for 9.8, new use metadata associated with each of the detailed variables. And as Liz said, 20 petabytes of data are represented. We don't handle that data directly, just the descriptions. So keyword, you can see the work has been going on. These are the fields within Earth Science where we have population, and the keyword numbers are associated there. You see that the oceans are winning out over the atmosphere. But what's interesting is you see that there's a relatively small indicator here for the climate indicators. Small number of words, large number of hits. People are interested in there. And also in 2002, we added services so that we could link services that handle data and move back and forth between both the data set description, the services that handle those, or the other way around. Those are not all web services, by the way. And then we continue to work on ancillary keywords. The ones you see here, we have data centers, projects, instruments, locations, and platforms, and then many ancillary. And then you can see on the right-hand side the relationship and the number of words that we have. But coming soon, and you'll see a slide of this, we've used a controlled set for orbit types for the spectral frequency domain, launch sites. I am from NASA, and the four-level taxonomy for models. Models are going to overtake this very soon. Then under data description, how do we understand what data are available? Well, we use the directory interchange format, the DIF, and it does provide a means to uniformly describe the data, supporting its discovery, harmonization, categorization, sharing, rapid coordination. I guess that's why we got credit, because we believe we fulfill that. And the descriptions must be uniquely identified. So here is the DIF, this directory interchange format, that began actually in the late 80s, but it was designed for space science data. When I took over for the earth science aspect, we started and actually extended that hierarchical set. And the important trends that were emerging at the time were the FGDC standard and the concept of metadata. And the web was just taking shape. If you've ever seen the Wayback Machine, you can check what we looked like then. It's pretty scary. But I have one photo of that. And then in 97, we evolved from 23 to 34 fields, and we were compatible then with FGDC. And many other standards. It was hard to know what was going to win out, and we never pushed. I stopped going around talking about diff. It became like a bad word, just like in some cases FGDC has become, you know, because it's forcing you down your throat. Let's be flexible. Let's just say what we're doing here and content-wise. By 1997, we had MD7 out. We were up to 35 fields. Useful fields, where we have feedback. The contribution that NASA has made to the international effort is through the Committee on Earth Observation Satellites, so we have a lot of partners that work with us. And by 2002, that's when the DIF acquired the sibling, the SURF, which is the services description, and allowing the cross-linkage linkages between the services and data. At that time, also, the query language was redesigned using XML syntax, and we separated the presentation from the business and application logic with unexpected gifts. Certainly the SOA architecture, services, and querying multiple data sources for spatial, temporal, et cetera. So we also, during that time, took on this LDA experiment. It's not the same LDA that you heard about earlier, and you'll probably hear about again. These were local database agents. When distributed system was talk, that had to be, you had to have a distributed system. But you have to think, you know, what is your purpose? And in this case, we found that there's nothing wrong with being centralized in some aspects if you want to keep uniqueness, et cetera. By 2004, ISO came along, and we evolved to holding 36 fields in this diff, call it whatever you want. And the population by topic is shown here. And you see we have a high percentage of biosphere entries and just that little climate indicators, 1, 2, 53, one of the most hit categories. And the services broken down here with data analysis tools, et cetera, that can be very useful in using the data. And then under data sharing, we have always been encouraged to share. We've shared internationally for a long time. And when I first got to the directory, there was one of the biggest complaints we had was that some of the partners who had the same content were not keeping it up to date. How dare you? Noah was saying, how dare you have this description out there that's outdated? So that, again, is another issue we tried to solve through the LDA, but that direction I'll talk about more in a minute too. And then we have a lot of exchange of data pretty much using the Open Archives Initiative protocol for metadata harvesting with some of our other partners. And here's some of the collaborations. We do a lot of work with the Joint Committee on Antarctic Data Management. And because of the way the directory is set up, we can, just like that, if you want a portal this afternoon, you tell me what it is, and we can use these controlled keywords to create it. So, hey, you want a portal with your data? There we have a Korea Polar Data Center, and the users love this. And it's because the design of the software that we can do this. And this is my favorite slide of all. This is through our partners at JAXA, and they're doing a lot of work with this. They have also gone as far as the search, and they use the Google search and translation, and they say even though, of course, it's not great, it gets them what they need. And here we have, it shows our users, and we actually did change our method of, we had a new tool, and we're going back now to see about the corrections here from May onwards when we changed the tool. And the evolution historically for the project here was a key number one is reduce that maintenance. And two, improve the discovery, look at the ease of use and the accuracy of results, certainly. And content requirements are key. The quality control. And then, of course, we believed it was very important to integrate the writing tools with the system. And now you can go in, and if you're looking at a description and you're the author, you can just click update right there. It will throw you into the authoring tool, and you can make your correction. Then we also have the integrated keyword and free text search. Again, this was a decision when I first started this project. Well, do we use keywords or do we use free text? And it was our international partners that said, hey, no free text for us. We can't think of the word in English, but we can find it. We can find it through a controlled set. And that just said, forever, we're going to do this. So, you know, keep the keywords going. And now these sets of keywords serve as refinements. you can go in and start a search, and then the, all the other sets of keywords can be used as refinements for that, along with the full text refinement. And there are the bidirectional linkages between the data sets and the services. And you saw the portals there in, on an earlier slide, and those are virtual subsets of the directory. And it's easy to comply to standards because everything's fixed. So ISO comes along, they have a set of keywords, link it behind the scene, let the user select for the fuller set of keywords, and then check in the doc builder tool, and this authoring tool just checks and says, hey, your ISO is already satisfied, because those words are much less restrictive. And, of course, we do think about NASA needs, too. We have a science user working group that has advised us well in the past, and, of course, the users and partners also do. And we've evolved over time from C to Perl to Java, like Java. And here's a little history of the directory. In 94, we had an ex-Windows client. I'm not sure anybody remembers JAM or ever knew about it in the first place, but it was our first use of Oracle. And then we had an authoring tool that was based on the Emacs editor, long gone. And by 94, we had this translation. We called it DiffMorph for translations. And we had a PC based diff writing tool, and we transitioned all the space science diffs back to the National Space Science Data Center and just kept the earth science ones. And it was the first web client was distributed, and we had web-based tools. Then we extended the keyword hierarchy, the taxonomy, and we were totally compliant with FGDC by MD5. And we included the iSight free text search based on Z3950. By MD6, we had upgraded iSight. We had Java Applet for the geospatial search. It was the first web page that we used the science keywords as that intro point. We had a parent-child. We still have a parent-child relationship. So if you have detailed data sets, especially if these children data sets are located somewhere else, you want a separate message or a separate link to get to those. And we added the related URL field. So here's the description. You want to get to the data itself, just use that related URL link. And then we experimented with other interfaces, the Human Computer Interaction Lab at Maryland. And we had a matrix interface, and some people say, whatever happened to that interface? Oh, we didn't know you liked that so much. But anyway, then by MD7, we switched from C to Perl. We added a calendar. You can use, anybody wants to advertise a conference, you can add it in the directory. We changed in the personnel database to a role field, added paleo temporal coverage, and we're participating in the FGDC clearinghouse, and beginning to move to MD8 alpha and with the tools. By 8, we switched from Perl to Java. Had used an XML syntax for the metadata, operations for managing the metadata. We had that services prototype coming forward then. And this is the first time, talk about reducing maintenance. Up until this moment in 1999, we had one person loading this database, one person. And so finally our coordinators, our science coordinators, could actually add the data, the description to the database themselves. It was a big moment, especially for the person who still works on this project, who had single-handedly entered, you know, thousands of data sets, descriptions. And by MD8, further in MD8, we had a new home page. The portals were moving along because of the use of struts, and we had moved to the DTD for the diff and the surf and had an open API. MD9, struts were used throughout, and we were compatible with the new standard, the international standard 19115, and added a geographic coverage map by 9.3. We were using Lucene. We replaced the full-text search engine with Lucene. We like Lucene very much. The search terms were highlighted in the records, and the refinements were started. We had location and data center hierarchy. We increased the number of characters for the fields, and this is a key one. I used to get calls when I was running the NASA's climate data system, and people think they thought they were giving you all the information that you needed. They were telling you where they wanted the data and when they wanted the data, and then they thought that was it. And, you know, at first we did too, and then you realize that the key thing is, what is the spatial and temporal resolution of that data set? And it's not good enough to put that in. You have to have like a controlled set, or because you can't find it. So we, again, that's when we made a controlled set of spatial and temporal aspects, which really defines, is this the data set you need? And we had allowed the authoring tool to have templates. And then by 9.5, we had the spatial search with the Google map, the refinement option we offered through the search by data resolutions, actually for the portals by then. And then we added the foreign character set and subscription service. And then the doc builder tools were available to the public then. And by 9.6, the temporal coverage, the relative temporal coverage. We have a lot of data sets that might be one place for a while. They're data pools, and they move through. So, you know, yesterday it might have been one place, and tomorrow it's someplace else. So we were able to deal with that relative temporal coverage. Data for this week is here at this site now, and then it moves. So that cycles through, and you know what's in place. And we added the related URL for get data. So where did come up? The I wouldn't say don't want to say we made mistakes, but sometimes this following the hype is not always the thing to do. And in the case of the distributed systems, we don't believe it. We seem to be making slow progress at that time, but we learned a lot of other things along the way with the local database agents. So first, you know, it's check if the application is appropriate. I always wonder, well, do we really need to be distributed when our database of descriptions is not large? And certainly this time with improved connectivity, that's not needed. Determine the return on investment for whatever you do. And be vigilant for change, know when to cut your losses, scope out the future. And then sometimes you get this out in the wilderness request. And maybe it's the same person asking for the same thing many times. But when it comes right down to it, and we made a doc builder solo tool that they could take to the field when they're doing research. Ha ha. And I'm not sure that was a great, that we're getting a great return on investment. Just about the time you think, well, you know, are we being appreciated? We found ourselves in an article by Leopold, and credit us by saying very few geospatial information scientists are working on the challenge beyond the GCMD. At the time, there were only 15,000. Now we're at over 17,300 descriptions, and covering all aspects. And I asked the staff this question. You know, they talked a lot. What do they sense is the value that they're getting? And we find that at least this time, with the expansion of the semantic web, some people want, they just want to come in and they just want our keywords. And we've been working on some new sets, and you know, we said they'd be out. Of course, it takes a little longer. And one of the replies was, you've been working on those for over a year. Like, where are they? We want them. And so there is a demand for those because of the space that are built on top. And that's not me, is it?
Excuse me, someone on the phone sounds like they're starting to eat their lunch early. We'd ask you to put it on mute and unwrap it in private. Thank you.
Okay, so then, of course, the keyword serve in this search besides just creating them for other work. And, of course, they really help in creating these portals, which are the virtual subsets of the entire directory that can have your own name on it. Of course, this get data feature is wonderful. You see a data set. Hopefully, in the data set that you want, it will say get data and take you right to that. And of course, in any of the systems, you might find the data set 25 times, and that won't be the case in the directory. So we do comply to all the latest standards and through XML, and the results are available through Google too. So, yes. Do you have a
question? How many agencies
data? If you look back, the data centers are one of our highest numbers. There are thousands of those, and I think that most of the agencies have something in there. But I have that breakdown.
I'll repeat the question. It was, how many agencies' data sets do you have in there? Let's take one more question, and then we'll go to break. Frank, is it short? I'll repeat it, or shall I bring you the mic?
What's the relationship between your work with GCMD?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question.
Would you repeat it, please?
Yes. He asked the relationship between the GCMD and SWEET. And there was a time when they used to credit. SWEET is an ontology done by JPL and through Rob Raskin. And they took our keywords and they created that ontology from our keywords. And they used to mention us. And now they don't mention us at all anymore. It's just SWEET. So. That's the story there. And, I actually started very late, and I'd like to just finish this very quickly because this is a version that's coming out very soon, and I think it's just the next slide I want you to see. You'll be able to see this. I did want you to know that we are behind the scenes. I mean, this is part of our 9.7. We have this keyword functionality upgrade, the functionality abstracted to use a SCOS data model. And we're integrating those queries. It's backed. We've moved to Berkeley DB. The story is when you have a relational database, everything looks like a table, just like it does when everything looks like a nail when you have a hammer. And so now we have moved out of that, not completely yet, but we are migrating there. And so this is one of our examples here where I spoke at a conference, Hydrosphere conference. The example here shows the broader, narrow relationships, but you can do languages, et cetera, through that. So that basically was what I was wanting to get to. But this is going to be the 9.7 new home page. And here's one example where we have added keywords that make the search more normalized. So, you ask somebody to put the orbit type, they're likely to put anything. This is a list that I created that is. And the key, we try to be mutually exclusive and parallel. So as you go through, you're likely to, you should. You should have a mutually exclusive satellite in this case. And then this is just how the new page will look. I'll show you that you can update. That's part of the display. This is just the brief display, and you can have the full record. Anyway, so moving to 9-8. Sorry.
Thank you, Lola. I think we'll send you to break, and because we still have half an hour now to have an extended discussion with you. So please come back promptly at 10:30 from your break. Michael Whitbrock, we need you to come forward.